my God. All right, here we go.
Hello, and welcome to the PC Gamer Podcast. This is episode number 136 for June 12th, 2008. This is your host, Logan Decker, and I'm joined today by Senior Associate Editor Dan Stapleton.
Editor? Does anyone else hear me say editor?
Oh. Editor.
That's better than editor, is editor.
It is. Podcast producer Andy Bellman.
Hey, what's up?
That was and really hey, look who's back. Former Senior Executive Editor Chuck Osborne.
I'm back!
For right now.
And he's got soup.
Who we hope will be joining us at least a semi-regular basis now that he's moved into the Black Ops division here at Future US.
Well, you never know. I mean, I'm usually sent on top secret assignments, you know, all across the country, but occasionally I can drop in, you know.
All right, let's look at the news for this week. Pause.
What's going on in the news?
What's going on with the news?
I couldn't find the... Here it is. All right. Let's see. Which
way
one?
To be prepared, Logan.
So, can we talk about what Chuck's been up to? Or not really? Is it top secret for reals?
No, yeah, what has Chuck been up to?
It's not that it's top secret or anything like that. It's just it's not terribly exciting because when I used to be here at PC Gamer, you know, like I could get any table at a restaurant I wanted. I could get into all the best parties.
You were accompanied by the frag dolls.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a crazy lifestyle.
Right. Men and women would swoon over me, you know, usually for different reasons.
Yeah. Chuck was up to his eyeballs in frag dolls.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, usually over my eyeballs, but, you know, let's not get into that.
Whoa.
But anyway, now what I'm doing is I'm editor-in-chief of the portion of our parent company that is making, like, custom publications. So, you know, I'm working with people like Best Buy and Kmart. So it's not quite sexy. It's not like I can go up onto, you know, up to someone on the street and say, hey, I make a magazine for Best Buy, and people go, ooh, hot. So I've lost that PC gamer, you know, kind of cachet.
Huh? Oh man!
But you don't have to worry about the paparazzi anymore, which is a nightmare.
No, and that is nice because you know now when I get out of cars without my panties on, I don't have to worry about the photographer being there. So that is a real relief.
Whew. Yeah.
You.
Well, it's nice to have you back.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be back. Even though you've completely switched around my computer and everything now, it's, you know, it's no longer my home. I feel so sad.
Yeah, but it makes a great storage area.
That's true.
Your voice quality does have a certain difference to it now. I feel like something has been lost. Part of Chuck has been lost. Or maybe it's just the computer you're on.
Yeah, no, it's called a soul, actually.
Yeah, it added 0.3 pounds.
Well, in the news this week, a spectacular controversy with a game called Limbo of the Lost, which would probably have been overlooked by just about everybody had the developers not decided to steal left and right for their game. Let's see. Now, what exactly did they take? Do we know that they stole entire screenshots from other games?
Yeah, so... apparently, like I saw one comparison screen from Limbo of the Lost, which is a point-and-click adventure game, and there was like this entire background that was taken directly from Oblivion, and it looked like they just kind of like took it right over and used it as a pre-rendered background.
So then your 3D modeled character just walks around that background.
It's like a green screen.
So but it's startling because everything in the background was exactly the same, like all the pictures.
Yeah, I mean it's not like they went into the game and took a screenshot though. Right? It's like they modeled, they just like took a screenshot and then like modeled their background exactly on that.
You know, to be honest with you, it kind of looks like they took a screenshot and they and they used that as their pre-rendered background. It really does.
Now here's a list of games that were that Limbo of the Lost allegedly took assets from, including screenshots or even, you know, some scenarios, that kind of thing. Diablo 2, Painkiller, Unreal Tournament 2003, Oblivion, Unreal Tournament 2004, Black and White, Thief, Deadly Shadows, The Elder Scrolls III, Morrowind, Vampire, The Masquerade, Bloodlines, Crisis, Return to Castle Wolfenstein, World of Warcraft, and scenes from the 1997 film Spawn. Wow, that is something else. This game has been in development, I understand, since 1995 or something like that, since forever.
You would think they would like steal stuff from a good movie, but I guess maybe they thought they wouldn't get caught if they stole from a terrible movie like Spawn.
I don't get it. I liked Spawn.
Dude, Spawn, John Leguizamo.
I liked Spawn.
He was hilarious.
John Leguizamo was good, but everything else about that movie was absolutely terrible.
It wasn't a great movie, but I did enjoy it, I have to say. Not a real great showing from the developers, which is, I understand, is a team of three people. And unfortunately, somebody who got a lot of mud in the face was Trisynergy, the publisher, who did release a statement saying, "Hey, we're as shocked as everyone else, as just as shocked as you are about this. They have stopped distributing the game and won't be selling it at retail or online anymore, and are waiting from a any kind of statement from Majestic Studios, the developer, who I understand hasn't really said anything yet."
They're like, "Oh."
What I think is most telling to me about Majestic Studios is that I did a search trying to find their website, and the only thing that I could find was a GeoCities address that was actually down.
Wow.
Because it was probably hammered.
Not so good. You know, it's kind of sad because if they hadn't sold the game, if they hadn't tried to sell the game, it would have been actually kind of cool. It would have been like the equivalent of a mashup.
That one guy,
that Danger Mouse, you know, who did the mix of Black Album and the White Album. It would have been like, what can you do if you use all these assets and can you create a brand new game out of all this detritus, you know, these samples and all that? But no, what happened.
I mean, now I actually want to play it. You know, I'm kind of sad that I can't get my hands on it because I want to try it out now. Just because you can play it and kind of play the game of, hey, what's that scene from? Yeah. You know,
yeah,
it could be a drinking game.
Yeah, it's a little meta game within the game.
but seriously, is anybody surprised? You know, much less Trisynergy, that there was plagiarism involved in this. I mean, the name of the game was Limbo of the Lost. We're like the main bad guy is called Slee Sticks or something. I mean, you know, the name of the game was already borrowed, practically.
I'm just actually kind of surprised that anybody noticed. You know, just A, because it's a very low profile game, and B, because like the screenshots that were taken from like Oblivion and things like that, it's like it's pretty generic, you know, like castle stuff, that at least the ones that I saw. So maybe it's just the fact that the shots were so incongruous with one another. You know, they were obviously from different sources that tipped people off that, hey, maybe they were stealing these. You know, they must have come from different sources. It wasn't done by the same artist.
Well, let me throw this out there. Let's say that the game had acknowledged every game that they took scenarios from and remodeled them. Didn't just take screenshots, but actually remodeled the sets and all that, like from Oblivion and whatnot, and then credited, you know, everywhere they took from in the credits. Would that have been okay? Would it have been okay to sell that game?
Yeah, I don't think legally you can do that because you're selling somebody else's work.
Now, if they had kind of like riffed on it and made it into a parody, I think they could have gotten away with it then, but they can't.
But
just
are you selling somebody else's work if you remodel the same room?
Well, that's the thing. They can't take the exact same art assets and
yeah. But what if they had remade everything,
right?
And then acknowledged, hey, yeah, we basically kind of sampled, you know, from all these different environments that you may as a gamer.
I think that would be legal. It would just be dumb.
But like DJ Shadow, he's in the Guinness Book of World Records because Introducing was the very first record to be comprised entirely of samples of other people's music. And it's a fantastic record. It was totally groundbreaking, and now tons of DJs do just the same thing.
But, I don't know exactly what the legality of it is. I would suspect that if you remodeled everything by hand and you know, and didn't just take somebody else's work and put it into your game, then it would be legal. It would simply be a kind of sleazy thing to do.
You don't think it would be ethical then?
Well, plus it would also be very chancy for a small company like TriSynergy or Majestic Games.
Oh, absolutely.
Because like some of the big guys like 2K who feel very litigious about their properties, you know, all they would have to do is just threaten to have a lawyer step in or anything like that. And it's going to cost them a whole bunch of money to, you know, have to go back and strip everything out.
Yeah, I feel really bad for TriSynergy because, you know, they're going to get the boot in the crotch for this, and they didn't deserve it. You can't. Who would have thought that somebody would try to pull something like this off at this scale? I mean, the list of games, holy free holy.
Yep.
Can't you see this as like a gateway, as a sort of like MST3K of gaming somehow? Like, what if like someone tried that and it was actually like a really compelling game? That would be badass. Yeah.
It would be pretty funny.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about the gameplay itself. And as far as I know, they haven't submitted Limbo the Lost to us.
No, we haven't gotten it yet.
For perusal. We may have been spared.
Hey, send it over, guys. Send it over.
We're not going to get it if we haven't gotten it already.
Oh.
Yeah.
Isn't that sort of redundant in the first place? Limbo of the Lost?
Limbo. Yeah, well, I guess.
Well, you can be in Limbo and know that you're in Limbo, in which case you're not lost because you know exactly where you are.
Yeah, if you get there and a sign says Limbo, are you lost?
Personally, I think TriSynergy should just claim parody right now. You know, kind of like head off any lawsuit. Say, look, it was named Limbo of the Lost. You could take that seriously.
Ho, 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 like that, you know?
Don't you get it?
Ho, 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 ho. Well, that's just too bad. So it'll be interesting to hear what Majestic Studios has to say for themselves. And if they end up going... Ho, 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 ho. We'll see. Stay tuned.
Why would they do that?
You know, hey, you know, oh yes, we meant for everybody to find those things. Ho, right. Ho, ho, ho. You win the meta game. And now we're moving to a country with a non-extradition treaty. So Crysis, Crytek is once again saying that they're not going to do any more PC exclusives after Crysis Warhead, and says that system requirements did not affect Crysis sales.
Hmm.
And they know that how?
Well, I mean, first of all, just to clarify, didn't they say that there would be no PC exclusives except for like the Crysis franchise?
So actually, we do clarify this in our August issue because we have an interview in there with Shabbat Yearly, and he kind of goes through and clarifies that it's not that there won't be any more PC exclusives necessarily, but it does depend on how well Warhead sells. So. If Warhead tanks or doesn't at least do as well as the first Crysis, then yeah, they're probably not going to be doing any more PC exclusive games.
Right. I mean, like with Crysis, it's like they might do like more like standalone Crysis games if this does well, and that those would be PC exclusive.
Yeah, it looks very likely that they're going to be doing because okay. So in case you haven't heard, Warhead is a parallel game to the original Crysis. It's not an expansion. It's not a sequel. It doesn't continue the story from that cliffhanger ending, which I know is going to disappoint a lot of people, but it actually follows Psycho. And it kind of follows that one part of the story where he just disappears for a while. And so you basically play a Psycho during that section of the original Crysis.
So it's a lot like the Brothers in Arms games where they had the second one I think Earned in Blood Road to Hill 30 was the first one. Earned in Blood was the second one. Earned in Blood followed one of your squad mates who went off on another little journey during the game. So it was a parallel thing, and you would kind of cross paths with yourself throughout the game.
Yeah, I kind of equate it with Blue Shift from Half-Life, where you get to play as Barney during the same game. So it is kind of like that.
Although that never worked for me, because I always turned on cheats and shot Barney.
Oh, he killed Barney.
It was great. It was a little thing I did where I just went on like Scientist Safari, because in that initial tram scene in Half-Life 1.
Uh-huh.
You're going through the Black Mesa facility, and you watch scientists doing their little sciencey things. But if you turn on cheats, you can give yourself guns and just think them off as you go by.
And there's a peek into Dan Stapleton's subconscious.
Cheat.
Tread there if you dare. The Shack News had reported that the Crytek business manager, Harold Seeley, had said that other games' lower perceived hardware requirements did not actually translate to bigger overall sales numbers than Crysis. To me, that doesn't really demonstrate evidence that system requirements didn't affect the sales of Crysis.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a correlation causation thing because, I mean, other games with lower system requirements, they didn't cost as much to make.
Yeah.
So the
that's kind of
different.
Weird.
The amount it costs, the amount you have to sell to get your investment back is different. They have different levels of hype, apples to oranges kind of thing.
Yeah, and actually one of the interesting things that Shavat brought up, which I don't know if I necessarily agree with him on this or not, but his actual argument was that when faced with buying Crysis, because of the high system requirements, people were actually spending their money on hardware upgrades and then feeling like, oh, well, you know, I've already spent all this money on the hardware. I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, grab Crysis online, you know, and just pirate it.
Hmm.
I don't know if that's really, you know, the thought process, but what they're hoping is that, well, now that everybody is kind of caught up hardware-wise for Warhead, because Warhead will run on any system that played Crysis, and they're promising that's actually going to perform better than Crysis did on existing systems.
I like that promise.
Yeah. that's what they're saying. But they're hoping that this time around that people are going to say, okay, we'll pay for the software and we're not going to pirate it.
Didn't they do a lot of bundles? Buy a video card and get Crysis. They should get down on the bundle stuff because then.
Although I guess I'm sure, like when Crysis came out, maybe a lot of the video card manufacturers wouldn't want to bundle Crysis with it because then you find
then it cripples your video card.
Yeah, I still can't run this game, and I just spent $500 on a card.
Yeah, that's true.
But overall, you know, I mean, I think I have no problem acknowledging these are guys who love the PC, you know, clearly. And that's what, you know, Far Cry and Crysis was built on. So I'm definitely looking. After seeing the screenshots of Warhead. Oh.
Yeah, and it seems like they really want to stay on the PC.
They
but,
do.
You know,
I mean, I
financially.
Doubt about-
Yeah, it's a question of whether it's financially viable for them to continue.
Yeah, they do, and in fact, Shavat even told me that even if they do make games like cross-platform games, they are still going to have a separate development team working exclusively on the PC, and they're still planning on actually pushing the boundaries of PC hardware. So it's not like if they did go cross-platform with their games that suddenly the PC is going to have like this stripped-down PS2 port.
Yeah. And it is, I mean, I can only imagine the heartbreak of working on a game that long and seeing, how easy it is to get a hold of and bandied about on pirate sites and whatnot. There's no doubt that stings.
Yeah, and they always made a big deal about how they were, like, the number one pirated game. Yeah.
Which, I just got in the new DOS keyboard. Listen.
Oh, you did? I got a Lycosis. And it's pretty sweet, but I kind of wish I went with DOS.
I love clicky. I love just clicky shit. Click, 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 click.
But you can't see what you're typing.
The new one has keys on it.
Oh, that's cheating.
Yeah, I know. It is totally cheating.
You should call it the DOS keyboard diet or something.
Or DOS keyboard for pussies.
Yeah.
1 in 5.
You need to get your computer to make just random, beep. You know, like the old, 386 beep.
Beep.
Oh, yeah. Next up, Flagship. We are not sinking. Well then, how about that?
There was an incident earlier this week where somebody on the Flagship team had posted to a personal blog saying, "Oh my God, people are leaving by in droves
droves."
And things here are terrible and blah blah blah. Which of course made people. Gave some people the impression that maybe something wasn't right at Flagship, but they
wonder where they got that.
Yeah, they've kind of come out and clarified things a bit. Apparently,
the CEO actually like released a letter saying, "Oh no, he was just having a bad day."
Oh yeah, he said
everything is fine.
Over at nextgen.biz, he was quoted as saying, "Everyone has good days and bad days. Guy was having a bad day."
Yeah,
he invented, exaggerated, and posted information that was inaccurate.
Yeah, well, and he was saying that people were leaving in droves. They say that just like 5 or 6 people out of a 100-person company left, but they just happened to be. Huh?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
They just happened to be people that he was working closely with. So like everybody around him had left, but that was just like one small group of people.
Or maybe he saw everyone going to lunch and he thought, you know, oh my God, look, what's going on?
Well, he basically said in his original post that I guess after this week he was going to be like the last programmer left.
Wow. So is somebody kind of a drama queen, do you think?
I can understand why he might be in a bad mood, you know. but I think this just goes to show, do not post anything on your personal blog that you don't want the general public to read, because if you're in the video game industry, if you're in the video game industry, it's going to get out there, and then suddenly you're going to have schmucks on a podcast talking about it.
And your CEO will want to have a word.
And you'll be in a world of suck.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering, you know, how long Guy Somberg is going to be the last programmer.
And the world gets a new barista.
Yeah. Apparently, he's not the last programmer working out. So just to clear that up, according to Flagship, at least.
It sounds like a DreamWorks movie, The Last Programmer.
but we don't know exactly how they're doing. We haven't really heard from them lately. They say in here, you know, we're the first people to admit that Hellgate, you know, could have used another month or two in the oven, but as a independent developer, they didn't have the luxury of delaying the launch, which, you know, is definitely fair to say.
Well, apparently they're doing great in Asia. I guess the South Koreans are loving it.
Is there anything the South Koreans don't love?
Yeah, they do. They love everything.
No, not everything. I think mainly it's just RPGs and RTSs.
But I love that about South Korea. They're like, bring it on. Give us whatever you got.
Yeah, they don't seem to be big shooter people, do they?
No, I don't think so. I think it's all about the strategy and the RPGs over there. Hmm. And bugs? Hey, it's just a feature, you know?
Yeah. You know, I hear that in South Korea, you find a lot of places that have, they have like these things that look like toaster ovens. And when you go into like an ice cream shop, you put your phone into it and it douses it with UV radiation to kill any microorganisms on your phone. It's sort of like a sanitary thing, which I think is really cool. I'm not making it up. People always say you're making it up, and then they find out that I'm not making it up. Like about the thing with the guy with whose hands turned into roots.
I saw the pictures of that.
Right? That turned out to be true. Everybody said, Logan, you're making that up. And I'm like, no, this guy looks like a tree. The tree man.
Yeah.
And nobody believed me. And then here, you know, everybody found out, you know, there was a tree man. For all you listeners, you may not want to look that up. I'm just saying.
Well, so he had reconstructive surgery and has been mostly cured, although his hands and everything are still pretty messed
up. Am I kidding here? Like, the pictures are a little disturbing.
But I'm guessing he doesn't get to do a lot of gaming.
No, not so much.
On that wacky tangent, my girlfriend is currently in medical school and she's doing a dermatology rotation. She's working with some dermatologists. The textbook that she brought home, oh my God, that will give you nightmares. It's like... pieces like you have to look at these pictures and for a little while and to figure out like what body part that is that.
Yeah, I mean I get dizzy just going to WebMD, so I don't think that would be for me.
That dude was evolution's answer to global warming, because he could just like oxygenate the air with his hands.
Tree man.
I don't think he actually had any chlorophyll. Anyway, we should probably move along.
Did your girlfriend show you necrotizing fasciitis?
I'm sure it's in there.
That's intense. Anyway,
that's the flesh-eating bacteria.
Oh yeah.
Hey Logan, this is my impression of you.
That is hacker typing.
That's Logan Decker, everybody.
See, I love my keyboard.
Logan and his new keyboard.
Woo! I am partying hard here. Okay.
Oh, so also in the August issue, the one with Crisis Warhead on the cover, that is only one of two, you know, first looks that we did in that issue. The other one is Sid Meier's Civilization IV: Colonization, which is a direct remake of the original Sid Meier's Colonization, which came out in 1994, I think. I believe four. Okay. 1994.
I'm gonna type that name. Done. Okay.
Yeah, and which was one of my, you know, favorite games at the time. It's you know, a lot of people probably don't remember that because, you know, it's 14 years old. So it's kind of like Civilization in that it's turn based and, you know, kind of it uses the Civ 4 engine, that which they've spruced up a bit. But it's about kind of the colonization of the New World. What you're doing is you play as a European country, either England, the Netherlands, Spain, or France, and you come over to the New World with one ship and like a couple of settlers, and you found a colony, and you start trading with the Old World, and you start harvesting tobacco and sugar and cotton and furs and shipping that back to the Old World and then selling it and bring it back. And you're competing with the other countries for territory. You also have to have diplomatic relations with the native tribes and that are already living here. you can fight the natives, but you can also trade with them. You can form alliances with them. That's actually what I always did. I never attacked the Indians or sorry natives. They're very adamant about calling them natives in this because
okay.
I never attacked them in the old one because, first of all, it hurt your score. Every native village you wiped out, cost you several points in the score when you finish. And also, you can trade with them. You can get converts, and add to your population. So
strategically it's better to,
it can be, you do
make,
get
to
a,
make nice.
Yeah. You can get a pile of treasure by taking them out, but it's a trade off.
But then you risk the whole scalping thing, which is
right. They come after you, and they're pretty vicious. There are more of them than there are of you, especially early in the game. So it's not like they're telling you go kill all the natives.
And if you ally with them, you get a casino. So.
You.
Yeah, that took me a second to
process. Please direct all of your letters and complaints to editor at
PCGamer.com. That would be Chuck at
Yeah. So there are plenty of jokes to be made like that. For example, they have a rancher type of colonist. Like you're training your colonists for specific jobs, and they get bonuses to production and things like that. And you don't have to, but you can micromanage like everything they do, like what they're producing in each colony. Mm-hmm. And they have one that's a rancher that raises horses. So, but you can put these guys in different jobs; they just don't get their bonuses. Mm-hmm. So, one comment I made in there was you really don't want to put the rancher in the state house. That's a bad idea. No, okay, you can cut that out.
I didn't get that. No, I want to get it. You don't put the rancher in the state house.
But then he can hurt all the politicians, and it'd be more efficient.
Current president.
You're showing your leftist leanings again.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead and cut that out.
Oh, it's staying in, baby.
No, go ahead and cut it out.
This game sounds the perfect companion to the John Adams series on HBO.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I was playing it. You can get this on abandonware sites, and we're actually also going to put it on our disc this month. But like the full game, so check that out. But I was actually playing it while watching the John Adams series.
Oh man, I was going to make a joke about like how someone would do that, and it'd be the most amazing experience ever.
Yeah, and it does. So eventually, your colony gets to the point where the old world keeps levying taxes against you. And to the point where if you want to survive financially, you have to declare independence. At which point the old world will come and try and put you down, and come in with a big army and try and kick your butt. So you've got to establish your independence.
So it forces you to establish independence then.
Yes, pretty much. It is less open-ended and less of a grand scale than Civilization, but it's like more of a focused experience. But I keep playing it over and over again because it's a lot of fun. I've been playing a lot of the old game lately.
Well, it's aged pretty well, huh?
Yeah, and there's a Windows version that you can get the graphics are ancient, yes, but it's a strategy game,
Once you get sucked into it, though, you don't even think about the graphics anymore.
Right. So it's brilliant. I'm very excited to see the new version. They've rejiggered things a little bit in like the economics of how things work. They've made the natives much more of a force to be reckoned with. Like they're now much more like player factions, and they've added multiplayer, which is going to be a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the credits for the original colonization. So the design was done by Sid Meier and Brian Reynolds. Programming, Brian Reynolds. Documentation, Bruce Shelley. just like all of the big, strategy guys all together on one project.
Right. It's really a great game. Again, not as grand in scope as Civilization, but definitely fun. I highly recommend that you all check it out. We've got a 4-page preview in the August issue. So
when is it coming out?
I believe it's on. Subscribers should be getting it about now. It's on stands in a week and a half.
Oh, actually, I meant Colonization.
Oh, Colonization is by the end of the week. By the end of the year. Yeah. So they're still saying 2008 for that.
Oh, that's a long wait.
Well, it could be a little bit sooner, but they never pin it down until they absolutely have to.
Hmm. I kind of judge everything like release dates right now. I kind of hold it in relation to James Cameron's Avatar. So I'm thinking, is it before Avatar, pre-Avatar, or post-Avatar?
Doesn't that mean it will never come out?
No, I think they're going to do it. I think it'll come out next year. I have faith in it. He's an on-time and over-budget kind of guy.
Wait, is this movie completely underwater?
No. It's actually up in the air.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Let's take some questions.
Wait, what?
What?
I'm reading Ragnar Tornquist's blog, and he's saying...
Who?
They're too busy
Ragnar Tornquist, the writer of The Longest Journey and Dreamfall?
I thought I was...
Jesus, Dan.
He's a hero of many gamers, including
myself. And Anarchy Online, too.
So what did he utter?
His
words?
They're too busy with Age of Conan, blah, blah, blah. Dreamfall chapters is on the back burner, but...
Then that makes him an asshole.
Yeah. Everybody stopped buying Conan already. Jeez.
I think basically what they're saying is, yeah, we would like to continue with this project that's making us money instead of this other one that's making us money.
Yeah, but one of them is so artistically brilliant, and the other one is, it's all right.
Except for the part where she fights and throws her boobs.
I guess the other one has boobs, though.
Fighting in The Longest Journey or Dreamfall, she looked like Elaine Bennis when she was dancing on Seinfeld. It's just kind of like throwing her limbs around. And
yeah. I mean, as much as I enjoyed like the overall story, that was one of those things where I was playing the game, you get to a fighting sequence, and think, what were they thinking?
Yeah. What were they thinking? I mean, they couldn't have been thinking this is working. that couldn't have been it. So what else was it? I don't remember playing The Longest Journey and thinking this needs some action.
You know what this needs? This is some clunky ass combat. That's what this.
Yeah, where is that? It's missing.
It kind of reminds me of every Gabriel Knight game. I love the Gabriel Knight series. I've always listed it as awesome. One of my top favorite games. But Jane Jensen would always insist on putting like some sort of action twist near the end of the game. And so if you didn't, get through this timed puzzle or whatever, then you wouldn't be able to finish it. It was always kind of frustrating.
Like the silly wolf thing at the end of gave him like three.
The wolf in the tunnel and everything. Yeah.
It was like this. You had beautiful graphics the whole way through, and all of a sudden you had this ridiculous little arcadey type game going on, and yeah, that was kind of awkward. Great game though, fantastic, and probably it's one of the only games I can remember, one of the very very few that where full motion video and even or even like.
Oh, you're talking about number two.
Yeah, video characters really, really worked, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, videotaped characters or filmed characters embedded in the...
FMV, I mean?
No, but not full motion, but even like, you know, like filmed real people.
Filmed real people and put into the game engine itself?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought it worked pretty well,
I think the Wing Commander series also did some of that, and it worked pretty well.
Shall we move on to some questions? Let's talk to our readers.
All right.
Listeners. Let's take some reader questions.
Why did Chuck Osborne have to leave? He was so cool.
Wait, I know that chick.
Didn't you pick her up at a bar once, Lee?
She cost me a bundle.
She was heavy.
Hey, PC Gamer Podcast. This is Cliff over in Anaheim, California. You guys are doing a great job. Hey, I have a question, and I think it's more for Logan today. Can you explain to me the difference, really, between the gamer cards and the workstation video cards? I've noticed just kind of perusing through that you'll see, like, one regular high-end gaming card for, let's say, $350, and it'll have 512 RAM, and you'll see almost the exact same card for $2,700, and the only difference is there might be 1 gig of RAM. Other than that, the specs seem pretty much the same. Are they different components? Are they better components? I was just curious on what your take was on that and what the big price difference was. Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work.
Workstation versus gaming video cards. Yeah, that's a great question. It's also extremely complicated, but the way to say it really simply is that they're very, very specialized cards. They often have plugins that are optimized for that hardware and that speed up applications like 3D design applications, 3ds Max, Maya, that kind of thing, as well as, you know, any computer-aided design application. They also often support huge resolutions, like going up to like way beyond what gamers would use. Because again, if you're designing like an automobile, you need a 38x40x2400 screen or something like that, something nutty, or even multiple screens. So once again, they're very specialized cards, and a lot of the reasons, a big reason why they're so much more expensive, is because not as many people buy them. You know, when you make a specialized card, you have to charge more for it because you're not going to sell as many. And that's one of the reasons why gaming video cards, even though we don't feel like they're cheap, but really they are, for as many transistors and for as much technology goes into a gaming video card, they're actually kind of a bargain, and they're able to sell them for prices as little as, you know, you can get a great DX10 card for less than $100 because so many people now buy them.
Well, not a great DX10 card, but a DX10 card.
You know, but I mean, compared to, you know, what you could buy 2 years ago, it's pretty amazing, you know? Yeah. So again, so they're very specialized cards that do specialized things for specialized applications. And you don't want one for gaming, trust me. And the driver thing alone will be a nightmare. Mm-hmm. Unless you've got lots and lots of money, in which case you can buy one of each. And be totally happy. Doing your 3D stuff and your gaming stuff.
Yeah, during your night job at Pixar.
Oh, great example.
Next question.
I should have typed that.
Hey, PC Gamer. This is Blair McDonald calling from Burlington, Ontario. I'm calling in about two things. First, I was quite surprised in the last podcast to hear the EIC of PC Gamer, Kristen Salvatore, uses a Dell. Why no custom ring with all the experts below you? So I was wondering, what type of computers do you guys have at home? Okay, second thing is, it seems like there's always a bit of a struggle for you guys to do a podcast the week the magazine is published, although you are better than Maximum PC. How about you guys adjust your schedule so that you do 3 weeks of podcasts per month with publishing week off for a break? That way, people won't be disappointed as they are now when a podcast is missed. And if you guys find yourselves with some extra time, you can do a bonus podcast and make it a treat for all your listeners. Whatever you decide, keep up the great work on the podcast and the magazine. See ya.
I like this guy.
Well, I think that's the first time anybody's asked us to podcast less.
We're losing our touch.
Well, wait, but he wanted only three podcasts or four podcasts?
Well, basically, he's talking about harm reduction. You know, he's saying it's disappointing when we, you know, can't make it to the podcast, which I understand. We always try, even when we're super busy, we try to do it. But sometimes, look, we're physically not in the office and we are out on the road, even during fourth week sometimes, finishing things up or meeting with developers. And
fourth week being our like hardcore deadline week.
Yeah. So even then, we're not even able to get to the phone, you know, to Skype in to the office, that kind of thing. But that's a decent idea. But we'd still prefer to do it every week, no matter what.
Yeah, and it's a matter of routine for both us and for listeners. Because if we don't do it every week, then we like start forgetting about it, and then listeners start like forgetting that it's on, you know, or that a new one's coming up. It's like, oh, is there a new one this week or is there not? You know, it just creates confusion. So, you know, for the time being, at least we're going to try and keep doing it. As for the questions about hardware, what we use in the office, we actually have generally Future buys us machines, and when they buy us machines, they go through a vendor like Dell. So like we just got some new ones.
Although we did have some Alienware machines too.
Which is now Dell.
Oh, right, of course.
The machines, yeah. The last cycle was Alienware. This cycle is Dell.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, it's just whatever deals they have worked out to be able to get, you know, hardware in bulk, you know. So we don't have a whole lot of say in what they buy us, but, you know, hey, we'll take it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. At home, I have a custom-built PC, of course.
As do I.
Same here.
Yeah. Pretty much me, too.
Yeah, so
I've got a QX9650 quad core, but I'm still using a single 8800 GTX and still totally happy with it because, believe it or not, if I use if I SLI to 8800s, I mean it's ridiculous. But the odds of me blowing a circuit on my floor and the floor beneath me where I live are very high. If somebody like turns on a heater or something like that, it's unbelievable, and I got to work with my landlord to figure out how to fix the problem. But it's amazing. I'm not really feeling the pain yet using the 8800 GTX at home.
Right. Actually, the worst thing for me right now is because since I'm no longer actually part of the PC Gamer crew, they've set me up, and I have to do this only for work purposes. They set me up on a Mac.
And
I've been using this thing for a month now. It is terrible. I still have no idea how to operate it. I mean, there's so many windows and just trying to maneuver around it. It's terrible.
Not that bad. You'll get used to it.
But that's what people have told me. It's a month later and I still feel like I feel like I'm you know trying to box with one arm like you know behind my back or something. It's just
Jack. This is an operating system built for old ladies to use, and you're telling me you can't figure it out?
It's like I can figure it out. It's just not as intuitive to me as the PC because I've been on the PC for so long.
Right. When you get an email, your email bounces.
So
boing 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 boing.
So right now I'm actually having, as we speak, I'm having Windows XP actually installed on my Mac so I can dual boot.
Mm. But yeah, it's just not what you're used to is the problem.
It is not what I'm used to. No.
Okay.
And I don't know like the keyboards and the mice that come with a Mac these days, like
they're still atrocious.
That's a fair criticism.
How do they use those things?
A horror beyond imagination.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chuck came up here last week begging for a new keyboard.
You know, I mean, if anyone's kind of computer phobic and doesn't know anything about computers and says, I want to get one, I would say, yeah, get a Mac because it is easier to use. But if you've used a computer before, you know, and you move over to the Mac side, you do have to do it the Mac's way. Whereas, you know, PCs or, you know, you may have to jerry-rig a lot of shit and put it... Excuse me. Anyway, and put up with a lot of hassles, but you know you can customize it to death.
Right.
Sometimes literally. and you can make it do things your way. And that's what I love about him. And, you know, you're on a Mac, and it is easier to use if you just sit down there and do your stuff the Mac's way. And I even like Macs, you know.
I don't like the Mac way.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, and some of their mice, no, that's not. Nobody should have to put up with that. I'm going to type that.
Hey, PC Gamer Podcast crew. This is Dravonix. I'm in Athens. Can you tell me if anybody will ever have the sense to start an MMO in the greatest sci-fi universe of all time? That would be Frank Herbert's Dune. It's a can't-miss idea. Think about it. House Atreides good, Harkonnen evil, Carino playing both sides off the other. Then you add in the Spacing Guild, Fremen, Tleilaxu, and the Bene Gesserit Mothers. You could even add in Cymex from the prequels. The universe has many fans, and the history is just outstanding, so it seems like a no-brainer. Could you maybe push this to some industry friends of yours and get the ball rolling for us? Thanks. Keep up the good work.
As evidenced by Star Wars Galaxies, there are many, many can't-miss ideas that do indeed miss. So,
Matrix Online.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's already about, you know, basically an MMO, and they messed that up. But...
I don't think that Matrix Online was that bad of a game necessarily. Mm-hmm. It was just the timing was so bad because unfortunately it came out after the last two movies.
Right.
You know, if it had been timed so that those two movies like didn't exist, or if it came out after the first Matrix, then I think a lot more people might have been interested in playing it.
Yeah. Very true. But I guess we did give it a pretty good score. I think we gave it an 80. I think it's probably, you know, somebody has almost certainly like floated the idea as you know we should make an MMO out of this. It's I guess a question of acquiring the rights and getting the funding and.
Yeah, I don't know how uptight the estate is about farming out their IP, but because you're right, you're absolutely right. This is an ideal, perhaps the most ideal. The world, you know, the world's already created. The backstory's already created. The great characters, great antagonists and protagonists are already there. Yeah. So it's a great question, and you know, you say take it to our friends in the industry, but after you do so many reviews, you don't have a lot of friends left. So that is kind of an issue.
But also remember, I mean, there's already a couple of licensed sci-fi games coming out. There's Star Trek Online, which is still in development, allegedly.
Well, allegedly,
and also Stargate Worlds, right? That's still around.
There's a Firefly one too.
Allegedly, I mean that one kind of like there was some talk about it, and then it kind of went away, and we haven't heard anything about it.
Do it.
I believe me, I'm the first one to be all over a Firefly MMO if it ever happens.
And I'm the second
one. I'm just not convinced that it's ever really going to happen.
I would be the 0.91, which is ahead of the first.
Oh, damn it.
It also means he's not quite all of a person.
But, you know, I'm fine with that as long as I get to be, you know, before the first guy to play the Firefly MMO.
It's Logan's funny. Really half a man.
I guess, like, a lot of MMOs are based on currently existing universes. I mean, aside from maybe Guild Wars and, what's the...
Tabula Rasa.
Yeah. Everything was sort of like World of Warcraft, Age of Conan, all that. Galaxies and all those were based on already.
Well, actually, a lot of the MMOs that have come out though, they've actually been the ones to establish their universes. I mean, there was no EverQuest before EverQuest.
That's true.
City of Heroes. You know, a lot of those games.
Auto Assault.
Yeah, that was I-76 though. You know, come on.
Yeah, and the universe subsequently ceased to exist.
What else would make a good MMO world? That's out there.
That hasn't been made already.
Future US, the MMO.
Yeah, maybe like Blade Runner, maybe.
Ooh, good
Grand
one.
Theft Auto, perhaps.
Yeah. Are we talking about game franchises or franchises in general?
And anything. Remember that movie Dark City? That had a nice premise.
Yeah, although it wouldn't really work for an MMO because there's only like one really powerful guy. I think Road Warrior would be excellent.
Or Doomsday. Did anyone see Doomsday? Fine movie.
Nobody saw Doomsday.
Dude, excellent movie.
I'm waiting for it on my Netflix queue.
How about Descent the MMO, where like there's a whole bunch of people trapped in the cave.
In
mines. Yes, and you can't see anything.
Yeah.
you just run around, you scream, and you fall in blood.
What other good movies? Let's do one more good movie suggestion.
Okay, I hated this movie.
Sex in the City theme.
Oh, dude, I'm there.
The Fifth Element. I hated the movie,
too.
I can see where it might make an interesting MMO.
Now, okay, wait, rewind. How the f*** do you hate The Fifth Element?
Because
you know
it
what? I would love to take to get everybody in a room who was involved with the production of that movie and shoot them in the head with a nail gun.
Oh my gosh!
What?
Okay, that's a little strong. Yes. I actually did enjoy the film.
Multipass.
I didn't love every part of it, but I did enjoy it.
No, better yet, get them in a room and then shoot their pets with a nail gun in front of them.
I mean, now, just as a visual experience, it was a pretty cool.
Oh,
movie.
It was pretty. It was very pretty. But
I thought it was nauseating.
What was your favorite part? The giant ambiguous ball of evil?
Hell was that? Yeah. That's what happens when you make them, like when you write a movie when you're 16.
Fisher Price aliens. Dude.
Yeah. See, no, Andy, this is actually why you do not write a movie when you're 16. This is why you do not make movies out of things that people write when they're teenagers.
Dude,
there's a very good reason why you don't do that, and the reason is Fifth Element.
But Bruce Willis's Esprit outfit was really interesting. I thought that was, kind of new for him. Yeah, I thought it was awful. Just horrible, horrible.
Oh, I always forget playlists.
Playlists. Let's do playlists. I am back in Assassin's Creed. I didn't get a chance to finish it. I had some interesting gamepad problems. Xbox 360 wireless controller didn't like the Microsoft Sidewinder mouse. Wouldn't you know?
Microsoft software, peripheral software, is so iffy.
WTF. It is the only thing that the gamepad wouldn't work with was Microsoft's own mouse.
Right,
the greatest mouse.
Did I talk last week? Andy, have you heard my rant on the Zune?
No, you don't like the Zune?
It's a horror beyond imagination.
I might have liked the Zune if I had been able to get it to work right. Because my MP3 player died, so I was trying to fill that void. So I borrowed Logan's Zune that Microsoft sent us for review.
Okay.
So I brought this thing home. I plugged it into my Vista machine. And I got a message saying, what the hell is this? I have no idea what this device is. Why would I know what this Microsoft device is?
You expect me to know?
Right. So, okay. That's not, the worst thing in the world. So I went and downloaded the software, ran it, and the install failed. And it gave me no real explanation. It gave me a support link to go to. The support link just said, download like the full installer package, which is, like 120 megs or something like that. So I download that, run that, get the same problem. After Googling the error code, it's like a 10-digit error code for a while, I found a bunch of people that were having, similar problems, but nobody could really pin it down. Eventually, I found a guy who said, turn on Windows Firewall. And I tried that, and it worked. Now, why does the Zune need Windows Firewall to be on? And more importantly, if it does need Windows Firewall to be on, why didn't it just tell me to turn Windows Firewall on? How hard is that? And okay, so then I got it installed, and I spent a few minutes trying to figure out how to just get a video on there. And when I couldn't figure that out, when it wasn't intuitive, I'm like, screw this. I'm uninstalling this, taking it back. I want no part of it.
This is why I play adventure games.
Yeah, I
you have to combine the the video with... No, I don't know. But
I had a creative zen. And that, all you do is you drag and drop onto it. How hard is that? Can we please do that, Microsoft? Please. I've heard great things about their interface. I hear it's wonderful. The Wi-Fi is supposedly much better with the new firmware. I didn't even get that far because they made it such a pain in the ass setup and use.
All right,
so this was not the first Zune. This was like
Zune
a more recent experience.
Yeah, this was the second one.
Yeah, this is the updated one.
So, okay, oh, wow. I'll agree with you that the installation of the Zune software is, like, sketchy as all hell, because it doesn't really tell you what it's doing, and then, like, it just sits there forever.
And apparently it needs the firewall to be turned off.
Yeah, which I don't know. But, I didn't have troubles with it on both my laptop and my main computer.
I'm sure once you figure out, you know, the intricate workings
no,
of the software.
To be fair, you know, I didn't have any troubles, and I actually enjoy my Zune experience. It's positive. Come on.
Does anybody want to be fair here?
I'm being fair. I have no say, though, because...
Well, now that I have... speaking of absurd adventure games, I just want to say that I played an adventure game very recently that... this has got to offend somebody's religion, where I had to use the carcass of a dead beaver as a funnel. And I just thought that was
a funnel.
As a funnel, I would never have guessed.
No, this is Dracula Origins, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell them about the
really.
Yeah. Tell them about the wolves.
The wolves?
Yeah. Remember the picture where you pick out the wolves?
Oh yeah. Wolves don't have cloven hooves. They don't. So if you tell me pick out the wolves, don't put cloven hooves on a wolf because they don't have them. And don't make me use dead animals in a way that again it is offends a sensitive person.
Maybe they're vampire wolves. that's why they have the cloven feet. But seriously, if you're playing a game about Dracula, don't you think that, you know, innately it's going to be offending someone's religion?
I just don't want to be bandying about, you know, the carcass of a dead beaver and using it as a kitchen implement.
But you do in real life, so why wouldn't you in the game?
No, look at you as a live beaver.
Yeah. As a bladder. You take it with you hiking and you squeeze it.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so I'm back at, after that comment, I better wrap it up.
Back to Assassin's Creed really quick. You're still enjoying it. You're not like, because I ran into a point where it's like, this is a little bit repetitive. You know, it was around the third or fourth assassination.
I'm on the fourth assassination. It is absolutely repetitive, and I love it because I'm totally into the free running thing. I didn't like it with the mouse and keyboard, so I thought, you know, I'm going to wait till I work out this gamepad problem. Now that I have, I love running around. I love escaping, you know, the dudes with the swords. I love the missions. It is absolutely repetitive. I wish they were mixing things up a little more, but I love doing that over and over again.
I wish they had done
from rooftop to rooftop and climbing up and escaping, everything about it.
What I wish they had done is made it easier to escape the bad guys than to just kill all of them. Because it's really easy to kill all of the bad guys.
Yeah, and it is kind of tedious to do the hand-to-hand, you know, or the melee combat.
Yeah, well, and it does look pretty at least. You know, string together some good combos. But what didn't you like about the mouse and keyboard? Because I played it all the way through with the mouse and keyboard, and I enjoyed it.
It didn't feel right. It didn't have that, you know, smooth analog feel when you're running, you know? And evading. True. I love being able to just make minute movements with my thumb on the analog stick.
I'm so used to mouse and keyboard, you know, running around in games that it doesn't bother me at all.
But you did bring up a good point, which is about chaining the combos. That's something I do like about the combat in Assassin's Creed that I loved in Beyond Good and Evil. Which is that the combat is super, super simple. It's anyone can pick it up. But the idea is not so much that the combat should be difficult, but by positioning your character in the right way and hitting the buttons at just the right time, you can string together a beautiful sequence of moves that looks great. And you feel like you're watching a great action movie when you pull it off just right.
Oh, you know, look, there's one thing that you should watch out for. I think it's around the sixth or seventh assassination.
The beaver?
Watch out for the beaver. But also, they teach you a new move. You know, you complete an assassination, you get a new ability. This one is how to break somebody's defense. Uh-huh. It tells you to, you know, push a button after taking a step towards the enemy. What it doesn't tell you is what it means by take a step towards the enemy is push spacebar. Or, you know, push.
Oh, yeah.
Push X button.
To break their grab.
No.
Something else.
When they're blocking, you know, you can knock their sword out of the way and hit them. But it says take a step towards the enemy. So like I had to actually stop playing and go online and look up what are they talking about, take a step towards the enemy, because I was trying to push forward and take a step towards them. And they never teach you that you know, pushing spacebar, you know, takes a step towards the enemy.
You're like my personal bureau.
Yes.
Thank you. What have you been playing this week?
What have I been playing? I've been playing some Political Machine 2008, which is fun. I love that little game. It's not a full price game. You know, it's a kind of a basic little thing. But you know, you run your presidential campaign. It's turn based, where you have your candidate, which you can make yourself or use one of the pre-existing ones. They're all little bobbleheads, which is cute. So you can you start at their home state, where you get a bonus, and then you move around doing fundraisers and giving speeches and ads on different issues, and it's all based on current census data, or like survey data, I guess, about what different states feel about different issues. So you can go around and just spew lies about your opponent. It's great. You can go out there and say Barack Obama thinks that we should stay in Iraq. or John McCain terrorism. Wants to pull out.
Barack Obama fathered a black baby.
And I do want to point out a historic moment. The first and only time you'll hear Dan Stapleton describe something as cute, and that's positive.
Yeah. And you can play as like any candidate. Pretty much any candidate throughout history, like you can play as Robert E. Lee if you want, that's fun. You can even play as one of the aliens from one of Stardock's other games from Galactic Civilizations 2 called the Drengen. So you're nice. You're this hideous alien creature running for president. It's pretty funny.
Where in the campaign does it start? Do you start like during the primary season?
No, it's the general election. So you just have the Democrat and Republican nominees running, but they do have different scenarios where you can run in like Europe, or you can run in like different time periods in the U.S.
So just two parties then?
Yeah, just two parties.
Oh.
So Chuck, when you are loosed from the clutches of your Mac here at work and fall back into the loving arms of your PC at home, what do you play?
Oh, well, I'm playing Mac games.
Of course. Where do you find the time?
I know. There's so many out there. No. Well, you guys know that I'm a big superhero game whore, so I try to play the new Iron Man game for PC just to see how bad it is. And that didn't last very long because, God, that's terrible.
Right. I mean, Norm turned in that review, which was 25%. And sometimes I just like to go in and make sure that it lines up with what it's not just one person that had a negative reaction to it. So I went in and wow, was that bad?
Wow. Yep. Yeah. That sucked.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Sega made that game. Sega has also made the
Well, Sega published
game.
It.
Well, published. Yeah. But Sega's also published the Incredible Hulk game, and I've actually played the Incredible Hulk all the way through on Xbox 360, and so I was hoping that maybe the PC version would be the same, but unfortunately, apparently, it's the PS2 port.
Yeah, which is the same thing that happened with Iron Man. They gave us the PS2 port of the game instead of the 360 port.
Hoped in vain.
Exactly. Yeah, why? Come on. Why? I mean, I guess they figure that they'll hit a wider base of people because the system requirements are lower. But really, I mean, nobody wants to play that game. So, like, you hit a wider base of people who don't want to play that game. It's just a bad idea. It's bad Sega.
Wah, wah.
And we have told them this.
Andy, what have you been up to this week?
I finally finished my excursion through Mass Effect, which is an amazing ending. Like.
That was a good end.
I'm a huge fan of movies that have like really good setup payoff style writing.
You know what I liked about the ending was when I just wanted to scare people. I wanted to know that people's bowels were tensing up.
What I loved about that game was all the hardcore lesbian sex.
Oh, absolutely.
That's really what made the game for me.
I totally accidentally
Chuck got the Fox version.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, nice.
If only, when you finish the game, you get the little menu item.
It's a hard achievement unlocked. Yeah.
Yeah.
I accidentally closed off my girl-on-girl relationship. And I was like, wait, did I just do that? No, crap. Oh.
Yeah, I did that too, actually.
I lived with it. But then I totally did the dude, so, you know, whatever.
That
is.
that now, could be misconstrued.
Oh, yeah, but I was a girl character, so it's all whatever.
Now, that is going to be my favorite clip. When this podcast gets posted, I'm going to go in and cut that out and just keep that on file.
Of Andy doing the dude?
You know.
Oh, okay, yeah.
No, he was doing the do, as in Mountain Dew.
Oh, doing the do, okay.
Doing the do. Do the do.
But let me explain something for everybody.
He can't stop talking about it.
Mass Effect is so awesome. And you know how, okay, so like, let me give you an example. Batman Begins is like one of the movies that come to mind that have really good like setups and payoffs. As opposed to like the beginning, he does this, and at the end, he does this, and it's like all connected. And then Mass Effect has like probably one of the best game setups and payoffs ever. So
yeah.
But
which way did you go at the end? Were you good or bad? I mean, this is you know, kind of within your very narrow path of you know, being good or a jerk.
Yeah.
I guess
I'm confused. I made him do. Oh, I don't know how to do this without spoiling it. What do you mean?
Did you do what seems like the right thing to do, or did you do what is probably not the right thing to do?
I got
from a moral standpoint.
I got like +25 renegade right at the end, and I was like,
oh okay.
Crap, what'd I do?
Yeah. I think I know what you did. You
but
bastard.
It felt right at the time.
How do you sleep at night?
It felt
all
right.
All those children.
The first time I played through it, I played as a pure paragon, and then I restarted, and then I was just a total bastard.
You're like, fuck 'em.
I was a good mix. Yeah. Like, you didn't have to be, you know, pure good. Or
oh,
pure
yeah,
evil.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But, so I guess I can actually tease that I just got back from Bethesda played several hours worth of Fallout 3.
This
is going to be our cover story for next month for the September issue. So I can't talk too much about it right now. But
it's beautiful.
Logan just saw some.
Oh my god!
Logan just saw a few of the screenshots we got for the story and was very impressed. And it looks even better in motion. Apparently this is the most anybody will get to play before release, we're told. So
did not know it was going to be that freaking cool to watch.
And I couldn't believe all the hardcore lesbian sex that's in it.
I know, wall to wall.
Yeah.
Well, they definitely.
Hey, kids.
Can I do the dudes?
No, I didn't reach any part of that in my travels. But you know, the main quest, like the part that has to do with why your father left the vault, that was all off limits because they don't want anything spoiled. So I was just doing side quests for the most part. Who knows what the main quest should hold?
Well, come back next week and we'll be yapping about it some more.
Well, maybe not next week, but
maybe, you know, come back in 2 weeks and
in a month or so we'll be able to talk about that.
That's awesome. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Well, okay. Now we've come to the end of our podcast. And now it's your turn. Send your questions to us in MP3 format to PCGamerPodcast@gmail.com. That's PCGamerPodcast@gmail.com, or just call us toll free at 877-404-1337 at extension 724. Record your question there, and remember, keep it brief and keep it light on the language. You can also become a part of the PC Gamer family by subscribing to PC Gamer magazine. Just head on over to www.pcgamer.com.
Oh,
oh. Oops. Just head on over to www.gamesradar.com/PC. Once again, that's www.gamesradar.com/PC. For the PC Gamer podcast crew, this is Logan Decker saying thanks for listening, and we're looking forward to seeing you again next week.
During our fourth week.
During our fourth week. We'll be there.
Or maybe.
Or maybe not. Or maybe it'll be a journey of disappointment. Hey, sorry about that. I was
no,
just
it's cool.
My desk. La 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 la.
I was just gonna let it ring. I kind of forgot it was ringing once the beeping just sort of gets inside your head.
That's poignant in a way, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, Chuck is arriving. I didn't have time to make a script today, so we're gonna be kind of flying by the seat of our pants. But
oh God.
Well,
why did I decide to join in with this cookie cutter operation?
Because we do the best we can with the resources that we have. That's why.